The Book of Daniel, number 77, Unveiling the Prophetic Parallel, Laodicean Adventism in 1863 and Biblical Typology. Key takeaways. The article discusses the rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863, drawing parallels to various biblical stories and passages. It relates this rebellion to the curse pronounced against rebuilding Jericho, the rejection of the cornerstone by the builders, Aaron's golden calf, Jeroboam's two golden calves, and other biblical events. The article also highlights the importance of understanding the four generations of Adventism and the divine judgment that falls upon the church in the last days. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 is compared to the curse pronounced against rebuilding Jericho in the book of Joshua, Joshua 6:26. It is also likened to the rejection of the cornerstone by the builders, as mentioned in Matthew 21:42-43. Aaron's golden calf, crafted when Moses was on Mount Sinai, is another biblical event used to symbolize the rebellion, Exodus 32:23-25. Jeroboam's creation of two golden calves to prevent the people from going to Jerusalem for sacrifices represents a similar rebellion, 1 Kings 12:27-29. The article references a prophet from Judah who was killed by a lion between an ass and a lion, 1 Kings 13:23-24. As another typification of the rebellion and its result. The 10th test of ancient Israel in the wilderness, where they tempted God repeatedly and were not allowed to enter the promised land, is used to emphasize the significance of 1863, Numbers 14:21-23. Sister White's commentary suggests that biblical events and prophecies have relevance for the present generation and warns of God's impending judgment. The article mentions the manifestation of the latter rain in 1863, connecting it to the message of the midnight cry and the importance of recognizing divine manifestations. Ezekiel's vision of the sealing and the divine judgment upon the church are discussed, highlighting the role of angels in executing God's wrath. The passage from Ezekiel indicates that the wrath begins with God's house, the church, and is executed by angels, emphasizing the commencement of God's ministry of wrath in the fourth generation. The article concludes with a reference to Zephaniah 1:8-12, indicating the impending punishment of those who are settled in complacency and do not believe in God's judgment. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by the curse pronounced against rebuilding Jericho, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord, that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." Joshua 6:26. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by the builders rejecting the cornerstone. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Matthew 21:42-43. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by Aaron's golden calf. "For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies." Exodus 32:25. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by Jeroboam's two golden calves. "If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. 1 Kings 12:27-29. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by the prophet from Judah who died between the ass and the lion, And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. 1 Kings 13:3-24. The rebellion of Laodicean Adventism in 1863 has been typified by the 10th test of ancient Israel that began their wandering in the wilderness. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Numbers 14:21-23. The Apostle Paul taught, Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Commenting on that prophetic principle, Sister White said, Each of the ancient prophets spoke less for their own time than for ours, so that their prophesying is in force for us. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 1 Peter 1:12. The Bible has accumulated and bound up together its treasures for this last generation. All the great events and solemn transactions of Old Testament history have been, and are, repeating themselves in the church in these last days. Selected Messages, Book 3, 338, 339. The message of the latter rain, according to Isaiah, is a message, for he identifies that the wicked will refuse to hear it, and he describes that message as line upon line. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Isaiah 28:9-13. Of the 6 lines we have just identified, and there are of course others we have not pointed out, one emphasizes 1863 as the end of a progressive test that led to wandering in the wilderness. 2 emphasize a former covenant people being passed by and replaced by a new chosen people. 1 marks a curse for rebuilding something that was intended to be left destroyed and abandoned under God's curse as it was, and another marks a curse for returning where you were forbidden to go. 2 provide examples of counterfeits of the 2 tables of the 10 commandments that represented Habakkuk's 2 tables. The golden calves of Aaron and Jeroboam represent a counterfeit image of jealousy that represented the counterfeit 1863 chart. When brought together, the 2 witnesses of Aaron and Jeroboam teach that Habakkuk's 2 tables represent 1 table, the very same way the 2 tables of the 10 commandments represent 1 law of God. Together, they become 1 symbol that is made up of 2 when they are brought together. The same prophetic dynamics of the 2 tables of the law of God exist in Habakkuk's 2 tables, and together, Aaron and Jeroboam's counterfeits address that prophetic phenomenon. The first generation of Adventism has been typified by the image of jealousy in Ezekiel chapter 8. The vision that begins on the 5th day of the 6th month in the 6th year in chapter 8 of Ezekiel continues into chapter 9, where the sealing of the 144,000 is represented. When addressing the illustration of the sealing of chapter 9, Sister White includes the attribute of God's character that identifies that it is in the 3rd and 4th generation where God judges those who are disobedient. She therefore incorporates the truth associated directly with the second commandment, which is the commandment that forbids the worship of idols, as were Aaron's and Jeroboam's golden calves. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Jesus is about to leave the mercy seat of the heavenly sanctuary to put on garments of vengeance and pour out his wrath in judgments upon those who have not responded to the light God has given them. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Instead of being softened by the patience and long forbearance that the Lord has exercised toward them, those who fear not God and love not the truth strengthen their hearts in their evil course. But there are limits even to the forbearance of God, and many are exceeding these boundaries. They have overrun the limits of grace, and therefore God must interfere and vindicate his own honor. Of the Amorites the Lord said, In the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Although this nation was conspicuous because of its idolatry and corruption, it had not yet filled up the cup of its iniquity, and God would not give command for its utter destruction. The people were to see the divine power manifested in a marked manner, that they might be left without excuse. The compassionate Creator was willing to bear with their iniquity until the fourth generation. Then, if no change was seen for the better, his judgments were to fall upon them. With unerring accuracy, the Infinite One still keeps an account with all nations. While his mercy is tendered with calls to repentance, this account will remain open. But when the figures reach a certain amount which God has fixed, the ministry of his wrath commences. The account is closed. Divine patience ceases. There is no more pleading of mercy in their behalf. The prophet, looking down the ages, had this time presented before his vision. The nations of this age have been the recipients of unprecedented mercies. The choicest of heaven's blessings have been given them, but increased pride, covetousness, idolatry, contempt of God, and base ingratitude are written against them. They are fast closing up their account with God. But that which causes me to tremble is the fact that those who have had the greatest light and privileges have become contaminated by the prevailing iniquity. Influenced by the unrighteous around them, many, even of those who profess the truth, have grown cold and are borne down by the strong current of evil. The universal scorn thrown upon true piety and holiness leads those who do not connect closely with God to lose their reverence for his law. If they were following the light and obeying the truth from the heart, this holy law would seem even more precious to them when thus despised and set aside. As the disrespect for God's law becomes more manifest, the line of demarcation between its observers and the world becomes more distinct. Love for the divine precepts increases with one class, according as contempt for them increases with another class. The crisis is fast approaching. The rapidly swelling figures show that the time for God's visitation has about come. Although loath to punish, nevertheless he will punish, and that speedily. Those who walk in the light will see signs of the approaching peril, but they are not to sit in quiet, unconcerned expectancy of the ruin, comforting themselves with the belief that God will shelter his people in the day of visitation. Far from it. They should realize that it is their duty to labor diligently to save others, looking with strong faith to God for help. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The leaven of godliness has not entirely lost its power. At the time when the danger and depression of the church are greatest, the little company who are standing in the light will be sighing and crying for the abominations that are done in the land. But more especially will their prayers arise in behalf of the church, because its members are doing after the manner of the world. The earnest prayers of this faithful few will not be in vain. When the Lord comes forth as an avenger, he will also come as a protector of all those who have preserved the faith in its purity and kept themselves unspotted from the world. It is at this time that God has promised to avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. The command is, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. These sighing, crying ones had been holding forth the words of life. They had reproved, counseled, and entreated. Some who had been dishonoring God repented and humbled their hearts before him. But the glory of the Lord had departed from Israel. Although many still continued the forms of religion, his power and presence were lacking. Testimonies, Volume 5, 207-210. To rightly divide the vision of the sealing as set forth by Ezekiel, it is essential to understand the four generations of Adventism. Sister White begins the passage we selected by directly referencing Ezekiel chapter 9, and the portion we have selected also ends with a direct reference of Ezekiel chapter 9. In the passage she says of Ezekiel, the prophet looking down the ages had this time presented before his vision. Ezekiel saw the circumstances that are occurring during the sealing of the 144,000. In the previous article, we identified with three specific passages from the Spirit of Prophecy that identified that Isaiah's drunkards of Ephraim, who in this passage are identified as the ancient men, and who in both passages represent the leadership of Jerusalem, Adventism, cannot see that there is to be a mighty manifestation of the power of God as in former years. In this passage, the very manifestation of God's power that they refuse to see will occur as part of the divine judgment which is brought upon them. For it is stated that the people were to see the divine power manifested in a marked manner, that they might be left without excuse. Laodicean Adventism refuses to see the manifestation of the latter rain that began sprinkling on September 11, 2001, but they will see the climax of that rainfall when the message of the midnight cry is repeated in the last days. That message is Islam of the Third Woe. Did not the leadership of ancient Israel, who had just crucified their Messiah, watch as the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost? The passage is identifying the church, which by context is represented by Ezekiel as Jerusalem, and the members within the church, Jerusalem, are contrasted by a little company, who are also identified as those that walk in the light, and are the faithful few. The Bible teaches that many are called, but few are chosen. The subject of the passage includes the wrath of God that is brought upon his people. The people have brought their judgment upon themselves, but God is specific in emphasizing that it is his angels that accomplish the work of destruction. God never lies, and he has promised that it is he that visits the iniquity of men unto the third and fourth generation. To attribute the execution of judgment to any other than God is to deny his character and suggest he is a liar. The passage identifies that when the destroying angels of Ezekiel begin to go through Jerusalem, that it is then that the ministry of his wrath commences. God's wrath begins with Jerusalem, which is his church, which is Laodicean Adventism. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:17. God's wrath is accomplished by God's angels, and when their work begins, they are commanded to smite all and to let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. The wrath of God is carried out by holy angels, and the point we are wishing to identify here is that the commencement of God's ministry of wrath is accomplished in the fourth generation. We will continue this study in the next article. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Zephaniah 1:8-12.